How does the geomagnetic field affect your health? Up next, Dr. Roland McCready joins us, and we're going to find out. Don't go away. Dr. Roland McCready is the research director and steering committee member for Global Coherence Initiative. His research interests include the physiology of emotion with a focus on the mechanisms by which emotions influence cognitive processes, behavior, health. He's also the director of the research of the Institute of Health Math, which launched the Global Coherence Initiative. He and his team regularly participate in studies with scientific, medical, and educational institutions worldwide. Here he is with us for 2 hours on Coast to Coast AM. Doctor, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be on the show, George.
Likewise. Tell me a little bit about the Global Coherence Initiative. What is that?
Well, it's basically a science-based co-creative project that, with the intention of uniting people in what we call heart-focused care and intention. And that's in order to help facilitate a shift in global consciousness, to help decrease the instability and discord, and to help increase balance and more cooperation, basically, on the planet.
There's a movie out called I Am, which is directed by the director of Bruce Almighty and one of my favorite old films, The Nutty Professor. You're in it, aren't you?
I am, indeed, yes.
Tell me about this.
Well, the movie I Am you're talking about, in fact, it's in the theaters now. I just saw it myself.
Did you like it?
I did. I thought he did a great job. So he was interviewing me primarily in a lot of our research on how living systems are deeply connected at a deep fundamental level, and how we communicate via emotional fields and biomagnetic fields and so on, which we've done a lot of work on over the years.
How did you get involved in all of this?
Well, it was actually a personal experience in discovering my own intelligence of the heart. I owned a very high-tech, successful electronics company, and for me, I got to the point that another sports car in the driveway and wasn't going to do it for me, and was looking to do something more to really help people and humanity.
Well, you know, that is so true. A lot of people who strive for these worldly possessions, they quickly find that once they get these possessions, they're still not happy.
That's correct. In fact, that was one of the themes of the I Am movie.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, let's go back just a little bit. Tell me about heartmath.org.
Well, HeartMath, we're basically a research and educational organization. And for the last 20 years, we've been doing very rigorous scientific research on the role of the human heart and how that can help us make better decisions, increase our performance, and help people recover from a wide range of health challenges.
The heart itself, it sometimes acts like a brain. Does it? You know, and when people say, you know, I'm in love with you, they hold their heart and things like it. Is it truly an emotional center, doctor?
Well, actually, it is, and I don't mean this metaphorically. You mentioned we think with our heart sometimes, and what the research is showing is that that's absolutely true. In fact, there's a new field called neurocardiology that's had quite profound influences on medical thinking in recent years. And what they've discovered is that the heart, in fact, the human heart does have a very complex intrinsic nervous system that's been dubbed the heart brain. And this isn't a metaphor. I mean, all the neurons and the way they're wired together in the human heart literally act as a little functional brain. And these neurons have both short and long-term memory and a lot of features that just like the neurons in our brain.
That's amazing. Now, do you think the heart sends information to your big brain, in the head?
Oh, there's no question of that. And what I'm about to say is might surprise you, excuse me, George, but
sure.
It's been known since the late 1800s. And the primary nerves that connect the heart and brain is called the vagus nerves, two of them. They're very large nerves. And about over 3,000 fibers in each one. And these nerves carry information both ways, from the body up to the brain and the brain down to the body, of course. And we all know and think about how when we say a dog jumps out of an alley or a near car accident, how our heart jumps in our chest and we have the feeling in the pit of our stomach and all these kinds of things. Well, that's the brain sending information down to the heart and body. But in the vagus nerves, 90% of those nerves are carrying information from the body to the brain. said, and the vast majority of those are quite literally coming from the heart and cardiovascular system. So in reality, the heart sends more information to the brain than the brain sends down to the heart and body. And those signals that the heart sends upstairs profoundly affect brain function and our perception, our reaction times, and a wide range of mental capabilities.
People sometimes will say, well, you know, he died of a broken heart. I've seen cases where someone dies and their dog dies sometime thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does that really happen? I mean, can somebody who loses someone that they're so in love with literally die of a broken heart?
Oh, absolutely. That's well documented. That people, especially older people, when a spouse dies, that within the next year, that their chances of also passing are much higher. And there's even a medical syndrome called broken heart syndrome.
I mean, is it the brain going to the heart, or is it the heart going to the brain something like that happens?
It's actually both, in my opinion. You know, the heart and brain are so interconnected that it's really hard to separate them.
Yeah.
It just is. That's just the way we're wired. So when we, like you mentioned, when we say I love you, we never say I love you with all my head, do we?
or my feet.
Right, exactly. And we put our hand over our hearts and these kinds of things because we do sense and we do feel the sense of especially positive emotions, love, care, forgiveness, these things in the area of the heart. And it's also kind of related to that. It's also the heart was reclassified back in the 1980s to be part of the hormonal system with the discovery that the heart actually is a gland that secretes hormones. And I won't go into all of that, but a wide range of them have now been identified that's secreted by the heart. The most recent one is oxytocin. And you may know, George, that's what the media likes to call the love hormone or the bonding
that's right.
hormone.
Okay.
So the heart's secreting as much oxytocin as the brain.
And when it is, it affects you in all different ways. Yet you've also looked at something else, the geomagnetic fields of the planet mm-hmm. and how it affects people's health.
Right, and actually what we were talking about the human heart is related to that topic. So we're really taking the research we've discovered about the energetics, or call it the energetic heart. For example, the heart radiates the largest magnetic field in the human body. And I'm not talking about an aura here. I'm talking about a literal magnetic field that we can measure very reliably with scientific instrumentation. So the heart radiates a field that's quite strong, and with today's equipment, can be measured out to just under 3 feet from the body. It goes farther than that. That's just the sensitivity of the equipment. And we also know that our nervous systems are exquisitely tuned into those fields, so we can literally measure an energetic communication occurring between people farther than our scientific instruments can measure. In other words, our nervous systems are very tuned into these fields. And then we've also shown that what we're feeling, our emotions, you know, whether we're frustrated and upset or in a happy kind of, you know, peaceful state, modulates or encodes information on those fields. So basically the heart's, the magnetic field that the heart's radiating can affect those in our environment, you know, whether we're conscious of it or not. And most people have had that experience, you know, when you visit somebody, this house or something, even before you catch their body language cues or anything like that, you just have that sense, that feeling that maybe something's not right.
Yeah.
Then you find out, sure enough, you know, they just had an argument or something, got
That's
some
right.
bad news. You know, in other cases, it's really good to be, feels really good to be around certain people. You know, just there's just an energetic environment. So what we're really talking about in terms of the Earth and its magnetic fields is very similar to that, just taking it from the living room example to the global scale.
Well, you know, and there have been cases, too. I tried to ask a guest of mine last week, and he couldn't come up with an answer to this, that, you know, some days you feel great. Other days you feel a little sluggish, a little groggy. You just don't feel right. There's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
You ate right. You took your vitamins. I mean, you did everything. You just felt out of kilter a little bit. Could that be because of the geomagnetic fields?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we did a study last year where we involved the Global Coherence Initiative that we're talking about tonight has a lot of members. Anybody can join and be a member for free and learn about all the science and participate. But last year, 1,600 of the members of the Global Coherence Initiative participated in a research study largest study like this ever done by far that I know of. And what they basically did is we had a survey that we would randomly send out every couple days a week to all the different members. So every day was covered. And the people all over the world participated. And we did this over a six-month period. So there were thousands of responses and a survey they filled out where we had these different individuals track their physical symptoms, their level of fatigue, their anxiety level, mental confusion, their well-being, those kinds of things. And we found a definite correlation between a number of the geomagnetic measures and solar indicators with all those measures. We measured more than I mentioned. So in other words, when the geomagnetic field is disturbed, the solar wind speeds up or disturbed, these kinds of things, we feel more fatigued, more anxious, and more mentally confused. And our positive feelings take a dive, our well-being and our good type feelings.
And I am finding that when that happens, it's done almost en masse.
It is en masse, yes. It's a planetary scale events we're talking about here.
So when you say, God, why does everybody seem to be so upset? Or why does everybody seem to be so happy? It's happening to all of us at the same time, isn't it?
Exactly. So there are a number of correlations with this. And hospital admissions, heart attacks, a number of other health indicators, depression, mental confusion, I already mixed. But an interesting one is traffic accidents also kind of correlates and rides along with the geomagnetic disturbances.
Interesting. Go ahead.
Well, basically, I was just going to say, when the field's disturbed, that's an energetic influx, the way we tend to think of it, and that we tend to get more anxious and irritated. So we go get in traffic accidents, start fights, and things like that. If we don't have the understanding of what's going on and learning some tools to help us increase our own personal coherence so that we're not as affected by those external influences. We don't really have to be.
Years ago, I was interviewing a fellow whose company was set up to clean up crime scenes after the police said, come on and clean it up. And he said, George, I got to tell you, our biggest work days and nights have always been around full moons.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for some reason, we would get more calls from law enforcement to come and clean up a scene because of a full moon problem, whether it was a car accident or a murder scene or God knows what. He said it was always during a full moon. He said it was uncanny. He said we knew every month when we had to bring more people on staff.
Right. I don't doubt that at all. In fact, 90% of healthcare workers report that exact thing you're talking about.
Yeah, the hospitals get jammed, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. The study was really done. 90% of the people that work in hospital and healthcare believe that very thing you're talking about.
Roland, how can we, people who don't have the benefit of geomagnetic instruments or anything like that, how do we, one, know that there's something going on that could affect us so we have something to pinpoint this on, and what do we do about it?
Well, great questions. There are a number of websites out there that give indicators of geomagnetic disturbance and these type of things, and a really good one, in my opinion, is the Global Coherence Initiative's website, where we've taken feeds from a number of different indicators around the globe, including satellites that measure the solar activity and the geomagnetic type indicators, and put it all in one place. Now, in addition to that, we're creating our own worldwide network of sensing stations that measure another aspect that, believe it or not, isn't currently being measured in a reliable way. So you can get all this data in one place. And you might also be familiar with what's called the Global Consciousness Project.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Is, you probably maybe had interviewed Dr. Nelson on your show, possibly.
Yep.
We were strong collaborators with that group as well, and also have a display that shows the output of that global network of these random number generators on the Global Initiative website as well, Global Coherence Initiative site.
I mean, will you on your website, will you say, we're going to have a bad geomagnetic day, folks. Get ready for it. It's going to affect you. Do you go that far?
We do. We don't say it's going to be a bad day, but we do give warnings, or that there's disturbances and these types of things. Now, what's really interesting here, and there's two different aspects of this we should probably talk about. So it's pretty obvious, well, I shouldn't say obvious, but most people can understand that we're born into and we live in the energetic fields of the earth, the geomagnetic fields,
sure.
So that we would be tuned in and affected by them. So when they get disturbed, then that disturbs us. But what we're really starting to zero in on now is the mechanisms by which that occurs. So what, just to kind of give you a picture of where a slide's worth 1,000 words, but if you imagine the earth, you know, like it's got a giant bar magnet in the center of it, that's not really how it works, of course, but we've got this more or less stationary geomagnetic field that goes out many thousands of miles into space, and you've got the North and the South Pole. So if you imagine those field lines, called flux lines, mm-hmm. as tightly stretched guitar strings, just actually what they act like, even though they're fairly stationary, you know, like a bar magnet, that's what is protecting us from the solar wind, which is the particles spewing out of the sun, which is different than the light, you know, that we see in the daytime. This is going on all the time. When they interact, the magnetic field lines interact with the solar wind, it causes them to vibrate like guitar strings. So they have resonances. They literally vibrate just like a guitar string. So depending upon the pressure in the solar wind, it changes their length or their tightness, and they resonate at different frequencies. Well, what's amazing is when we measure these, that the frequencies they're vibrating at overlap almost exactly with what we call the human heart when it's in what we call a coherent mode.
Okay.
So in other words, the earth is singing away at the same frequencies as our heart and cardiovascular system operate on. So that's one set of geomagnetics that we're talking about, and we've designed our sensors to measure. Because most of the ground-based stuff that's looking at magnetic fields are just looking at the DC level, what's the strength of it, not these resonances.
Not the resonance, which is just as important, if not more so.
Well, if not more so. Then the other set of important resonances that are going on is then we have the ionosphere, which is the listeners could think of as a big soap bubble around the planet. And both the ionosphere and the geomagnetic field are absolutely critical for life on Earth. Without them, we'd be in big trouble. But there's the ionosphere is a plasma, is what it's called, but it's a highly charged layer of ions around the planet. That's a protective shield. Now, in the ionosphere, whenever you have ions, you can have these basically current flows that are set up going around the planet. And there's very complicated patterns of electrical energy flowing around the ionosphere. There's a big giant figure eight pattern, for example, another current going around the equator. And the magnitude of these currents are almost unimaginable. They're huge. And whenever you have a flow of current, you create a magnetic field. Okay, so it's a whole other set of frequencies, resonant frequencies. And then there's a chamber between the surface of the Earth and the bottom of the ionosphere, which starts about 50 miles up, by the way, and then goes out to a couple hundred miles, the ionosphere does. And the bottom of it is basically the ozone layer, just to help give people a reference.
Right.
And when you hear about ham radio operators talking to somebody else on the other side of the planet, or why you got to turn the power down on radio stations at night, is the radio waves bounce off the ionosphere and, you know, go around the Earth. Well, that same principle is happening on a much larger scale. You have these magnetic waves that are traveling around the Earth in this resonant cavity. Now, when we measure those, there's 8 resonant frequencies, and all of them overlap exactly with human brain waves.
Will some people react differently? And by that, I mean, when there's increased activity, do you find that more people will be happy as opposed to depressed? Or are they all the same?
Well, no, there's certainly a general trend that when the basically the fields are disturbed, kind of incoherent,
right.
that through those interactions are kind of pulling at our brain waves and our heart rhythms and these types of things, that's what creates us to be more anxious and more mentally confused and fatigued, these kinds of things.
All right, Roland, hold on. Let's talk much more about this when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, next hour we'll take your phone calls with Dr. Roland McCready as we're talking about the geomagnetic field, what it does to you, and maybe you can share a story or two with us as well. Hey, by the way, are you a Coast Insider? You can be for just 25 cents a day. So you just go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up for that. And also, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, XM switches from XM 165 to XM Talk 168. So make sure you know about that change, those of you who listen to XM as you drive around the country. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We're with Dr. Roland McCready as we talk about their work with the Global Coherence Initiative. Doctor, if some people who are prone to migraines, how do we know it's not the geomagnetic field that's doing that?
Well, we don't really. I mean, in fact, there's quite a few physicians that I've come across since we started this initiative that have contacted us that actually have their patients with migraines and headaches track the geomagnetic fields. For some people, they are more sensitive than others to these types of energetic influxes.
How about animals?
Oh, definitely. Animals are far more sensitive, I think, than we humans are. I mean, there's a lot of examples of, well, here, let me give you a great one. A lot of earthquakes and the tsunamis and so on,
sure,
there's all these stories about how the animals somehow know about it ahead of time and get out of Dodge, so to speak.
Yep, head for the hills.
Head for the hills. Many, many stories. In fact, the Chinese even had a system of watching for strange animal behavior as a way of predicting earthquakes in place. Now, what we now know is that we can measure changes in the Earth's geomagnetic field and in the ionospheric field. This is just starting to become clear that precede earthquakes up to a couple of weeks in some cases. So the animals are just more tuned into these geomagnetic and Earth fields than or not as, they don't have all the mental stuff getting in the way, I think, is probably what's really going on. So there.
Yeah, that's true. I've gotten some calls from some people who can sense earthquakes. They hear low tones, mm-hmm. and their bodies feel different. So they may be picking these up just like the animals.
Absolutely. We're all energetically sensitive, just to different degrees, and some of us more aware of it. And the more aware we can become of it, the more educated that people become, the more we can help offset these effects. It's one of the most important things. So that's a lot of what the Global Coherence Initiative is really all about, is providing education for people, and we also have some tools, techniques, and technology that allow people to increase their own personal, what we call coherence, so that they're not as affected by these energetic influxes, whether it's the lunar cycles, the solar cycles, or geomagnetic disturbances. Because basically, it really gets pretty simple. I mean, these external influences, they're not out to get us. They're natural cycles. But what is really important is when we have these influxes, you know, and what humans don't like is change, George, especially if we don't understand it or unexpected change. But by learning how to take our own personal responsibility for our own energy, we can elect to use these energy influxes in positive ways so we don't go get in more traffic accidents and get more irritated and so on. So there's an amazing kind of story here. One of the first people to really do research on the effects of, say, solar activities, which impacts the geomagnetic field, and then us, was a Russian scientist named Alexander Tesovsky. You may have heard of him before, but he, during World War One, he observed that during solar flares and activity, which then in turn disturbed the Earth's field, that there were more battles and they were bloodier, and just kind of like we were talking about earlier, kind of crazier stuff going on. So he did an amazing review of human history back to 1749 up to 1926 is when he published his work, and plotted the number of major human events that had a global impact by year, just put the number, how many occurred each year from all those from 1749 up to 1926, and then plotted that along with the solar cycle. And if you can see the graph of it, it just blows you away. I mean, they're exact overlays. Now, what was also found later to be true was that the greatest periods of human flourishing, more scientific discoveries, more cooperation also happened in those same peaks of when we had more onsets of wars and things. So this energy isn't necessarily negative. It's just how we choose to use it. And that's really one of my main messages here, is that people can learn tools to really manage what can seem stressful and use that same energy in a very positive and creative way. And that's a lot of the resources we provide, a lot of them for free, through the Global Coherence website or the Institute of HeartMath website.
Tell me about some of your work with animals and human emotions. This is fascinating.
Well, that's an interesting story too, and I know a lot of people really feel an emotional connection with their animals. So we've done some work that actually shows that that's not just some strange idea. They really are very tuned in to us. So there are a couple of great examples. In fact, I published a chapter on this in a bioelectromagnetism book on some of this research. But what we've done is, by the way, the human heart is very reflective of emotions. And to help make this research make sense, it's important to understand that our heart rate changes with every heartbeat. Okay, and that's a natural variation. It's called heart rate variability. And it's a really important measure in terms of our overall health and resiliency, how much of this we have, this variability. Then within that, the heart is literally beating out messages or patterns of information that reflect emotion. It's one of the things that's reflected in that beat-to-beat pattern that the heart beats out. So we hooked up recorders that measure the heart rate variability on humans and animals. So we've done this with, actually one of the first people that did it with was my son and his dog. So we had them both wired up to these devices, and the dog was in one of our labs, and my son, his name's Josh, went in and basically sat down and just did what we call a heart lock-in, where he shifted into a nice coherent state where the heart's beating out this kind of rolling hill-looking pattern rather than being kind of edgy and jerky-looking, and we call that a coherent heart state. And what helps you shift into that state is when you're genuinely feeling positive feelings like care or appreciation, these kinds of things. So that was very easy for him to do in this case. But the important thing here is this was an energetic experiment. He wasn't petting the dog or talking to his dog. He was just hanging out in the lab. And what you can see very clearly in the data is once Josh made that shift, my son, the dog had an obvious state change and went into what you could think of as dog coherence. It's just so obvious when you see the graphs. So the dog was obviously picking up his emotional state and made an internal shift. Now, we've done the same thing with horses as well, and both horses and dogs seem to be amazingly tuned in to human emotions.
That's great stuff. It really is. Why is it that people, after, let's say, 5 days of rain, because I've seen it here in St. Louis, 5 days of rain, they begin to get depressed, but when it's sunny out and clear, people seem to be a little happier?
Well, there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I mean, being cooped up inside, but we're also cut off from the natural sunlight during those types of things, which is another source of energetic influx into our systems. I know for me, after I've had a cold or something, one of the first things I want to do is go out and just get some sun to help recharge my system, get re-energized.
Yeah, that's probably what it's up to. Have you looked at the Mayan calendar 2012 date?
A little bit, yes. I'm very familiar with all of that. And, of course, there's a lot of fear projections and things like that about 2012, which is, again, I'm not in that camp. I really think the other part of what we're doing with global coherence is a little more far-reaching hypothesis, and that is that the kind of collective human emotionality is literally interacting with and modulating the Earth's field. And we've got there's some data to support that. So a lot of the fear and stuff about whether it's 2012 or other events actually creates a field that creates more stress on the planet. So a lot of what we're doing is educating people that it's really not something we have to be scared of. Again, it gets back to depending on how self-managed we are and able to take responsibility for our own energies. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about that, kind of things that we need to put out more love and care and things like that rather than fear. But that's really hard for people just to do that. I mean, let's be real here. I mean, that sounds nice conceptually, but that takes some effort. And people need to know how to do that. They need practical tools to be able to make those kind of shifts and be able to reduce their stress throughout the day and live more from a more appreciative and caring perspective, where they're more cooperative and not so frustrated and angry and impatient and so on. Again, and that's a lot of what the tools that we've developed here at HeartMath and part of the Global Coherence Initiative are all about, is helping people actually reduce their stress and get into a more coherent state so they're making better decisions, living healthier and happier lives. So when you're in that coherent state, you actually feel better. So it most people get motivated to keep practicing these kind of techniques that help them get into their coherent, into a coherent state, because it just feels good, and mm-hmm. we start feeling better.
You talk about how human emotions and consciousness, which we are big believers of, can affect the Earth's fields. So that, to me, that's a reversal. How does that work?
Well, exactly. So we've been talking about how the Earth's fields affect us and our health and well-being. And the data is just overwhelming for that. I mean, there's hundreds of studies showing these kinds of interactions between changes in the geomagnetic fields and the Schumann resonances we were talking about in our health and happiness and well-being. But we're also suggesting here that, as you're saying, that mass or collective emotionality, and it is, I need to say, it's really our emotions that are the main influence here, not so much our thoughts and these kinds of things, that can modulate the Earth's magnetic fields. And there's a couple of lines of evidence for that. You mentioned earlier that you were familiar with the Global Consciousness Project, which is this worldwide network of random number generators mm-hmm. that, again, has been shown to be affected globally by mass human emotion or collective human emotions. And one of the best examples of that was after 9/11, the terrorist attacks, and there was a huge effect on this global network. Well, simultaneous with that, this isn't as well known, is measures of the Earth's magnetic field exactly in time with the attacks had a sudden, very unusual shift. They usually kind of go along like these nice sine wave patterns, you know, the night, day-night thing. But exactly with the terrorist attacks, this huge spike occurred in the magnetic field, measured by satellites that are 22,000 miles out in space, as well as some ground-based devices. And then if you look at the plot on the days after that, it's a very chaotic-looking geomagnetic field. And if we think back to what the emotional climate was on the planet after those days, it was very chaotic, and people were very fearful and angry and all the emotions going on. So I can't say that proves anything, just having that. But the timing, just the idea of that being so exactly timed, the odds of that are very I don't know how many billion to one it would be, but it's out there. We're looking at a series of those kind of bits to basically prove the scientific point that we can and do modulate the Earth's magnetic fields.
Roland, tell us a little bit more about these Earth monitoring stations that you're installing.
I'd be happy to. So these are specialized sensors that are designed to measure the resonance that is frequencies I was talking about in the field lines of the Earth and in the ionosphere. Now, as important as these are, the fact that they overlap our heart and brains, these frequencies, the Earth singing to us 24/7, you'd think there'd be sites out there measuring that already. But lo and behold, there wasn't. That's why we had to create them ourselves. And the way I think of this, this is about 80 years ago, George, when the first researcher was putting an electrode on a human's brain and seeing squiggly lines coming out of their head, mm-hmm. The brain waves.
Right.
And then they saw, wow, look at these lines, these squiggly little things here. They're different when they're asleep and awake and all that. And then the next step was putting two of them on and finding out, wow, they're different on different sides of the brain, different times. And that's kind of where we're at. And it's a very good analogy. I guess I could say metaphorically what we're doing is measuring the planet Earth's heart rhythms and brain waves. Now, that may turn out not to be such a metaphor as this research unfolds. So far we've got a station here in California, and then we installed one late last year in Saudi Arabia, which was a great site because it's exactly on the other side of the planet, and we're installing one next month later this month in the UK. So we hope to have 12 of these eventually around the planet so we can really get a good measure of the whole Earth and the dynamics that are going on.
That's pretty good research, too. Is anybody else doing this in a scientific way?
Not that I'm aware of. There are a couple of sites around that do look at the same type of things, but they only monitor for short times, every hour or two, things like that. So this is the first time in history that there's been a continuous two continuous monitoring systems, and soon to be three, and then hopefully four by the end of the year, that are all synchronized in time. For example, one of the assumptions has been that if these are globally propagating waves that we're talking about, that they're the same everywhere. If you have a monitoring site in one place, they're going to be the same anywhere else. Well, we already know that's not true from just our two sites. that there are significant differences in what's going on in different places of the planet. So there is kind of a global coherence, if you will, but very clear local differences in the Earth, in these resonant frequencies of the Earth.
What, now, what's your global cure room that you've got on your website?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. One of the things that we're suggesting here is that we've been talking about some of the negative effects, but the positive effects are, in fact, even more powerful. So we're really saying here that when we're in a coherent state, when we learn how to maintain our own personal coherence, that the energetic fields we're radiating are more coherent and have a more chance of coupling with and affecting other fields and other people. So that our signals go out like a radio wave, and then they resonate with the Earth's geomagnetic field. Now, one of the things that the research is also showing is that we can amplify that effect when groups of people come together in a coherent whole, like if you will. So the Global Care Room is a really neat part of the website for the Global Coherence Initiative. By the way, that's glcoherence.org for anybody that wants to go check it out. Mm-hmm. So once you become a member, you can go into the Global Care Room, and what you see is the Earth turning, and you can control the speed or whether it turns or not. And when you go into the room, a little dot shows up showing you and your location, and you can see all the other people that are in the Global Care Room with you doing positive things to increase the radiations out to the planet. And then we have what we call care focuses, where you send your heart-focused care and attention to help offset or reduce the human suffering in those areas. So right now, obviously, the care focus is for the Alabama and the areas that got hit by the recent tornadoes, as Japan and things like that.
What would you like people to learn from just listening to you tonight?
Well, I would really like them to learn that we have a lot more control to be in charge of our own emotions and our responses to the events that are going on than most people know or have been taught. And there are some very simple practical techniques that really help us become more coherent and really maintain our own positive perspectives throughout the day. And that's a huge way of reducing stress, by the way. So there's a lot of personal benefits, but that's also not just affecting us, but also affecting the planetary whole and the field environment we all live in. So there's a lot of resources on the Global Coherence Initiative website that allow people to do that. I think one of the techniques, for example, that people get a lot of benefit out of is a little booklet. It's called The State of Ease. So it's a technique that helps us flow more through the day so we're not as stressful, or the impact of stress doesn't have the same wear and tear on us. So that's a wonderful technique that is very easy to learn and practice, and most people get a lot of benefit out of very quickly.
Well, you know, I think what I have found to be very fascinating is there's no question that people feel out of kilter during certain days. And the fact that you're beginning to register this, to me, is absolutely staggering.
Absolutely. And teaching people what they can do about it. Again, you're absolutely right.
That's important. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So we really can't offset the effects of these external influences to a much larger degree than people realize, especially if we understand them and understand what's going on and have some very practical tools to maintain our own coherence, even though the external energetic environment might be disturbed.
In the would you spell your website for us, Roland?
Sure. It's G-L Coherence, coherence.org.
Great. Well, stay with us. We're going to come back with the final hour. We're going to take phone calls. And, hey, I would love for you to share stories if you think the Earth's magnetic fields have affected you and how they have. We'll be back.